This episode is brought to you by our friends at Brooks Blooms, your all-in-one landscaping solution.
Brooks Blooms' three-step landscaping experience offers a seamless journey from design to construction and ongoing care, ensuring your outdoor space thrives year-round.
Visit brooksblooms.com today to embark on your landscaping journey, where every step is a step towards a vibrant and beautiful outdoor entertaining space. G'day everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Ads and Dunks podcast. As always, brought to you by the Oz American Aces and our wonderful sponsor, Brooks Blooms, who we absolutely love. My name's Adam Treloar, of course, and with me, with a nice, big, beautiful smile on his face and wearing a nice, maybe new sponsored hat, Sprite. Maybe that could be a new sponsor, even though, because you're usually wearing the Brooks Blooms hats, but you're not this week. Joshy Dunkley, how you going, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. It's definitely not a new sponsor, that's for sure. It's just a hat that I had in the cupboard that I've got from some random shop, and I thought, why not change it up tonight? So decided to wear it, mate. But how are you going as well?
Going good, mate. Going good. For what it's worth, since you're wearing a Sprite hat, what's your favourite soft drink? Give me your top three soft drinks.
I haven't actually been drinking a lot of soft drink lately. It's been a sort of a bit of a thing of mine. But if I'm to choose one, it'd probably be Coke Zero.
All right, top three, mate. I'm a man of rankings. Give me your top three. One, Coke Zero.
Coke Zero, I'll go Sprite and Solo.
Not bad, mate. Not bad. You want to hear
more? What's
mine?
What's yours? Yeah.
I'll go Solo. Solo's easily the best. Then I'll go a Sunkist would be second.
Oh.
And then I'm going Pepsi Max. So they're my top three, by the way. For our listeners out there, make sure you send through your top three because I love hearing these. But Pepsi Max or Coke Zero, have you seen the debate? Are you a Coke Zero or Pepsi Max man? Clearly Coke Zero because it's your third favorite. But do you like
Coke Zero?
So we had this debate at the footy club. We did a poll on who, the Coke Zero Pepsi Max rank. And it was a lot closer than what I thought, where Coke Zero just won.
I feel like Pepsi Max is like, it's a bit flatter than what Coke is.
I agree, right? But this is where the difference is for me. Coke Zero, so if you were to drink them both, right? I love how we're talking about food and drink already. Love it. If you were to put them together, you would have a sip of the Coke Zero and then you'd have a sip of the Pepsi Max. Yeah, it may taste a little bit flatter, but it tastes sweeter. You drink a Coke Zero, it tastes like nothing. Tastes like absolutely nothing.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a fair call, but I still like Coke Zero better.
Of course you do. Got to be different. But I'm going well. I'm considering all things, mate. Obviously, from a footy point of view, it hasn't been ideal for us with the last couple of weeks. But other than that, going really well. It's nice. The one good thing about our schedule at the moment is we're playing every 6 days. So we're albeit it's been pretty tough considering, you know, what it's like, 6 day turnarounds are pretty solid, but especially as you get older. It's nice that we can, you know, hash out what we need to hash out and then focus on the games, on the game ahead. But other than that, it's been a good week. I was able to get to Adelaide on the Saturday and I watched Kimmy play her 150th, which is incredible. I mean, I don't think we gave her too much of a pump up last week. So I just quickly want to say what an incredible achievement that is from Kimmy. I think there was only three or maybe four players off the top of my head at the Firebirds who played 150 games. So incredible achievement considering all things that she's gone through. She recently had a back surgery in December where, she was kind of at a crossroads with whether she plays or not because that was kind of the advice. But, you know, she got some good doctor's orders and, yeah, she got to play her 150th. So it was incredible to be there and watch her in person. And as you said, the Firebirds are going to be good this year, mate. And they played out of their skin. And your girl, Tipper, best game I've ever seen her play.
Yeah, she was good. I was watching back here in Brizzy. But I thought, yeah, obviously well done to Kimmy on 150. It was a huge milestone and massive game. And I wish they had got the chocolates for her in the end, losing by 1 point. But I was sitting on the edge of the couch up here, mate. I was home alone by myself, like cheering at home. I was like trying to get him over the line, but wasn't good enough in the end. I thought it was the girls will take a lot of confidence out of that performance, I feel, and it'll hold him in good stead for the rest of the season. Very exciting.
It was. I've never been to Adelaide Entertainment Centre, and I actually didn't know that they didn't play many. Their home games wasn't necessarily there last year. They only played a few games, where this year I think they're playing majority of their home games there. It's unbelievable atmosphere.
It's pretty cool there, isn't it? It's like really dark in the crowd, and then the courts sort of like reminds me of NBA a little bit. Like, yeah, definitely. Really dark in the crowd, and then the environment, everything's focused on the court.
I agree. I'll tell you what I do love from the game is I love that. So for those who didn't watch it, we were, it was back and forth in the last quarter, and then we had a chance to essentially win it on the buzzer. So it was essentially a buzzer beater. And Nelly had a shot, and obviously we didn't win, so she missed. But I love the fact that we went for it. I was all for it. I mean, you could take the easy one-pointer, tie it, but I was all for the two-pointer. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't think about the one-pointer at all the whole time. I was just thinking, oh, we're going to win this with a two, so go for it. Because if you go to extra time, you know, you never know. You've got the momentum at the time. Why not have a crack at the two? If you get it, so be it, and you win. But if you don't, well.
Yeah, mate, it was incredible. It made me think about, so put yourself in a position, right, where you're kicking for goal after the siren, because obviously Nelly took the, trying to put this into context from an AFL point of view. So Nelly took the, obviously, the catch inside the 2 meter and took the shot. Say you're in Nelly's position, how are you feeling? Like, because I think about it and I reckon you can't see me, but if I'm lining up, my hands would be like this. I'll be trying to pull the player over. I'd be doing something where I'm not taking this shot. Well, like, how do you reckon you would go in that situation?
No, I'd be shitting myself too if I was having a shot to win the game, especially if it was after the siren. Jeez, I don't know what I'd do. I'd melt. I'd probably kick it out in the full.
I reckon I'd risk my foot. I mean, what I thought about it after the game, because I rewatched the shot and I'm thinking, wow, what a situation to be in. That is just unbelievable. And, you know, I've got to mention Tipper and the way that she was playing. I mean, I'd say it's the best game I've seen her play. And I genuinely mean that. I felt like, you know, she's been battling a little bit with her knee, and the way that she was moving around, mate, it looked like she had no issue with her knee, and she was zipping in and out. She was setting up Nelly. She was shooting two-pointers all game, mate. She played unbelievable.
Yeah, she did. It was good to see, and obviously against their old mob too. So to go down there and for her first game back at the Firebirds to put on a bit of a show was awesome for her. So I think she's pretty sore. I know she's sore after the weekend, but good that she could go out there and play good netball.
Couldn't agree more. Now they get their first home game this week against the Giants, I believe, which will be a ripping game. And there's a little bit of netball talk for you, for our fans out there, especially our female fans who – of our podcast, who always say when I see him, you've got to talk more netball. So we gave you a little bit of a spill on the netball. It's a passion of mine and yours, so it's good. But other than that, mate, how was your week? What did you get up to other than footy? Anything exciting?
Yeah, no, and just before I answer your question, I just wanted to mention to talk about females, the two girls that came to our captain's run last week. So there was these two girls there, right? You know how we do swish? You know you swish on the video messaging. So I've got a swish once, and at the same time, it was this, like, there were two requests in my thing. So, but it was for the same person, same name. So I was like, I wonder if this is the same person. Sure enough, this girl told me at the captain's run the other day in Melbourne that someone had requested for her, and then another friend had requested for her as well. So she got two video messages on her birthday. And I just wanted to, she said, make sure you give me a shout out on the podcast because they watch a podcast. So I thought I'll do it for it this week.
Oh, that's nice. I, for what it's worth, so where the girls stayed, they stayed pretty much across from where Adelaide Oval is. And it was the same night that Port Adelaide played Freo. So as I've come out of seeing the girls in the hotel, we went and had dinner after the game and whatnot. We're walking out. So it's me, Larzy, I think Macy was there. I think it was just us and Kimmy. We're all walking out, and of course, it's when the game's over. So all the Port Adelaide fans have come out, and a couple of, oh, what's he doing here? I didn't know the Bulldogs were playing here, and all this stuff. It was pretty funny. But there was a group of boys who I know they listen to the potty. There was a big group of them, and we got a photo, and some of them threw up the A sign. So,
love that.
So those group of boys, thank you so much for asking for that photo and then putting up the A sign. It means a lot. Running into a lot of our fans. Sometimes I pinch myself when I think of some of our fans who, you know, say, I'll put up the A sign or whatever it may be. It's pretty cool that we can have an impact on those people's lives. But, back to what I was saying. How was your week? How was your week, mate? What did you get up to?
Nah, it was a good week. We went down to Melbourne pretty early last week on Wednesday. So it was the day after we did the podcast. So pretty quickly. And obviously played the game, and which was a good outcome for us, and I'm sure we'll touch on it soon. But came back to Brizzy on the Friday, so Friday morning, which was good, and had to do a few things around the house and recovery and all that kind of stuff. So spent the weekend kind of chilling out. We didn't have training until Monday, so it was nice to have a couple of days off and really wind down, because we've got a 10-day break into the Cats this week. So kicked back on the couch, mate, just cruised around, cleaned up. Actually, Tipper will hate me for saying this, because I asked her to vacuum the house before she left, and she didn't do it. So I had to do it myself when I got home. You'll love that.
Okay. You would have been ropeable. Were you ropeable?
Yeah, I was filthy.
Well, it sounds like you need to be get to work, because in the background here, I can, you know, usually you're nice and neat and tidy. You've got your beautiful shoes there that are piled away, you know, in a stand and whatnot, but you've got a whole bunch of shoes there. Like, what's going on, mate?
Yeah, well, those ones are just sort of a couple of new pairs, or just not good ones that I've got at the moment. So I just sort of pile them in the corner, and it kind of looks cool.
Well, you know what, mate? Just focus on that, so next week you can have that, and then you can vacuum throughout the week.
All right.
But no, we actually got to see each other as well on the Wednesday. And actually, when we went to – no, was it Wednesday, our senior? Wednesday or Thursday? Our senior Thursday. Wednesday.
Thursday.
That's right, senior day of the game. And we went to Lenny, where we used to always go for brekkie pre-game. And we actually had one of the waiters there come over and say – what did he say? Something about the potty?
No, he said something about the AFL fantasy, like captain me in the fantasy tonight or something.
That's right. He said, I'm going to captain you in fantasy. And boy, oh boy, you probably didn't let him down. I mean, I don't check stats or fantasy, but I know from your game itself was unbelievable. So no doubt you didn't let him down. So hopefully he's listening, and next time we're there, he can give you a great big hug and a thank you. It was good to see you. It's great to see you.
Yeah, it's always good to see you, mate. I appreciate you obviously being an hour late and telling me you're going to be there at 12 and got there at 1, and I was just sitting there like, yeah, I was waiting for you.
Hang on. I wasn't late. Was I late? I don't even remember. I came straight from the club.
Nah, you were a little bit late, but it's all good. We'll let it pass.
Oh, well, next time I'll let you take the Uber back instead of driving you. See how I'm trying to avoid the footy at the moment? Because I know we're not going overly well at the moment, so there's going to be a couple of questions about that. What about Saturday? I want to bring up our passion for horse racing. Pride of Jenny, did you see that thing run?
I did, and I thought this was going to be your bloom of the week, because I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about a bloom of the week and for our special segment that we do, and I was like, Adam will definitely have Pride of Jenny. But yeah, no, it was an incredible run, mate. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
I haven't either, and I was sitting in the hotel in Adelaide, and I was with one of my great mates, Casey Moores, and we were sitting back watching the race, and he doesn't watch horse racing at all. And when there was about 1,200 to go, he goes, that horse isn't losing. Like, I've never seen this. That horse is not losing. And I was like, mate, I've never seen this. It ain't losing. And then, yeah, lo and behold, it didn't lose, mate. What an incredible run. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll go down in the history books. I don't think it was actually a good time or something. Is that what they said?
No, it wasn't. No, it was just the second and the third jockeys, or the jockeys and the horses, they just held back, mate. I mean, I don't get it. I've seen this thing today. So there's this question that got sent. I'm going to ask you, who would you back in a 2,000-meter race, Pride of Jenny, Very Elegant, or Winx?
Probably take Winx.
I would take Winx too. And I'll tell you what would be unbelievable is if Winx was in that race. Because I know Winx used to come home like a wet sail. Imagine watching Winx chase down Pride of Jenny and win that race from there. I mean, no discrediting Pride of Jenny. What an incredible horse. I mean, that was unbelievable to watch.
It was, mate. What about the rest of the weekend for you? What did that hold outside of the netball on Saturday night?
I stayed not too far from So we stayed at Crown Plaza in Adelaide, obviously, and the girls stayed down that road there. You'd know it, the main road in Adelaide where all the hotels are. Well, anyway, most exciting thing I got from that was catching those scooters, mate. The old, the old what's the app called? Beam. Chuck the beam over it. ride down to Kim's hotel, say g'day, ride back. That was probably the most most thrilling thing I got out of being in Adelaide, because I literally didn't leave. I left the hotel, walked around Rundle Mall, and I mean, that's pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of Queensland, so Brisbane set up. You know that outdoor shopping complex kind of thingy in Brisbane? Kind of reminds me of that. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, Adelaide is, I mean, we experienced Gather Round, but it is a massive footy state. They love their footy there.
They sure do, especially when both teams get a win on the weekend. They were pretty good on the weekend, both of them.
I mean, even just being in the crowd of the Port Adelaide fans, as I was leaving the hotel, mate, unbelievable how passionate they are and how they know pretty much every player. And as you said, mate, the both teams getting a win, and the way Port Adelaide are playing, it's been pretty cool. But yeah, other than that, I didn't do much other than stew over the game on the Friday, the one that we lost, which I guess we may as well.
Might as well, mate.
Start talking footy. We'll start with you because your game was first. Yeah, give us a rundown. I mean, you guys played unbelievably well, and you yourself, you individually just keep building, and you've had two absolute unbelievable games. So, yeah, how'd you feel out there?
No, it was good. I think everyone would probably, that watched it would have been, I suppose, quite impressed with how he performed. And us as a group, you know, we've always, I don't know, I've been on here saying it, like we've always believed that we could play that way, probably just hadn't been executing it as well as what we would have liked. So moments like, you know, that you saw on the weekend where, you know, backs one-on-one winning contests and we didn't turn the ball over as much in crucial areas of the ground, and, you know, our mids really got to work. We had a really, like, clear plan and how we were going to attack Melbourne and some of their strengths. So it was really good. It was positive, and it'll go a long way with, you know, for the rest of our year, I feel like. Hopefully it springboards us into the next few games, and no greater test too than this week in the Geelong Cats, who were flying.
Yeah, no, I second everything you say. It looked like that you guys were playing, mate, from the get-go, played your brand and what we're all known to seeing with the Brisbane Lions, even with some players that you have out. I mean, I mentioned Zach Bailey now, who's just been reported that he's going to miss another, well, not another, miss 4 weeks, which is a big out, big loss to cover because he's an absolute gun. It also, must also give you great confidence. You know, obviously a lot of people bring up when you guys travel or when you play in Melbourne at the MCG in particular, it must give you great confidence now that, like, that's not really what people need to talk about. You can play grounds well. You can play against oppositions at different grounds well.
Yeah, it's important. I think with that one, it's hard because you play, we've in the past, in the history of the club, have played really good teams at the MCG. So, you know, the grand final, it's Collingwood. Last year, we played Hawthorn there, who probably weren't going so well at the time, but they knocked off some good teams at the G last year. So, like, all our games there have been hard. So it's always been a thing in the back of our mind that's been like, well, we're playing good teams. So it's not us playing on the MCG. It's just the way that we've been executing the game plan, I suppose, on a bigger ground. So like I said, it was a really clear focus this week into what we needed to do against the Ds, and sure enough, it worked. And we got ourselves the 4 points again, which is really important. But in terms of travel, I've never seen, like, obviously playing in Melbourne, you don't really understand. And you'd understand because you're at Giants for a little bit. But last week, so we go to Adelaide last week for Gather Round. We play on Friday. We travelled back Friday night. So we get back to Brisbane at like 1 a.m. Saturday morning. Mm. 3 days or 4 days later, we're back at the airport to go to Melbourne to then play on a six-day turnaround against Melbourne Footy Club, who are flying. So it's like that kind of stuff, yeah, it's so hard, but you just – it's like it's just natural for you. So you build up this, I don't know, you're just diligent in what you're doing, and you just cop it on the chin and get it done and get down there and get back. And sure enough, yeah, lucky to get the 4 points. It's good.
Yeah, it's a great point because I take that stuff for granted. I kind of forget about that because you're right. When I was at the Giants, mate, we traveled almost every week. And, you know, sometimes we would play home games at Manuka Oval when obviously I was there, which is even a travel in itself. So you are right. Yep. I think if anything, and like you could probably second this, it probably builds a bit of camaraderie between you and the boys because you're kind of with each other all the time. You're staying at the hotel together. You're seeing each other. You're kind of living in each other's pockets. And you definitely probably can see that reflective on your performance when it gets to the game on the weekend.
Yeah, it does. It definitely builds that resilience too. I feel like, you know, you you make it, you know, and Melbourne did it when they went to Adelaide a couple of weeks ago. They wanted to go there and they're on a mission to get the two wins against the two Adelaide teams. Like that, those kind of road trips that you can build up a bit of a theme around is sort of what you do in those moments. And so, yeah, I think the Melbourne win last week for us was really impressive after, you know, having to travel so much from, like I said before. So, yeah, it was a really good win for us. And, yeah, look forward to this week now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's great. And also, Lachie Neal didn't realise, but we gave him, obviously, a pump up last week. So, we don't, he doesn't need to get another pump up because he's an absolute superstar. But he's won in every milestone he's played.
Yeah. Yeah, he told me that during the week and I was like, oh, well, I'm going to keep that one tight-lipped until such time as we win and then I'll let it out everywhere. So I was just, yeah.
Oh, well, at least the footy world knows now it's an absolute lock guarantee for if Lachie Neal plays 300, 350, 400, your Brisbane Lions are going to win the game. So at least you can take some confidence going into that. But no, well done. It was a good game from you boys on the weekend and yourself individually. Another unbelievable game in my opinion. It felt like, as you said, I think 3 weeks ago, you feel like you're growing into the season and your last three games have been unreal, mate. So well done.
Thank you, mate. So let's move on to your game. I know you're probably dreading that you want to talk about it, but yeah, I didn't get to watch it, but I saw I was checking the scores pretty frequently at the rugby. So yeah, talk us through it. How are you feeling? What was the build-up like? Did you notice that anything was, I don't know, off at all? Or was it more just on the day, you know, just didn't bounce your way?
No, I would never fault our preparation, how we prepare. We're a very professional group and, you know, hand on heart, we'll always say that. They're a great bunch of guys and I feel like we always give ourselves a great opportunity and we prepare really well. Yeah, I definitely felt like in terms of the game, we let ourselves down, especially early on when, you know, there was chances where we could have put a score on Essendon and missed some opportunities and butchered the ball going inside 50. It felt like we turned the ball over in really, really good spots, but then going back inside, we just let ourselves down. I probably sound like a bit of a broken record because that's what I say a lot when we lose, but that is the reality. We let ourselves down a little bit when we turn the ball over, go back inside 50, and whether it's because, I don't know, we're kicking it to a 3-on-1 or a 2-on-1 or just missing the kick or whatever it may be, it's kind of find that that's probably been a little bit of an issue for us. So, definitely felt like, you know, that let us down, particularly early on in the game. We had I think we got out to maybe a 10-point lead or so, maybe early in the third or late in the second. I don't really remember, but there was a couple easy goals that we allowed to Essendon. That is, you know, as you know, mate, when you're up and you're playing well and feel like you're working really hard to score, when a team then easily scores on you or scores quick and consecutively, it can be a little bit deflating. And I definitely felt like it was a little bit deflating. You know, this is how I individually felt. So that was a little bit frustrating. And then, yeah, full credit to Essendon. I mean, you can't discredit them at all. They clearly came with a plan and how they wanted to play. And I was fully impressed by their pressure around the ball and their contest work. And, you know, the way they commit so many numbers to the ball and then spread off that was exceptional. And, unfortunately, I said last week we've got to stop them from kicking their way through us, and I felt like they did that a little bit at times, which eventuated into an easy score for them. So that all kind of came to a head in the last bit of the game, especially in the last quarter. I felt like they just outworked us and outran us, and that was probably the most frustrating thing from our point of view because you know, we come off a game against, as you said, Geelong, who are one of the best teams in the comp, where right up to the final siren, we were in the game versus, you know, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot in the last quarter and Essendon were just way too good for us. So, yeah, mate, very, very disappointed from the outcome of the game.
So, did you feel the game was quite even up until three-quarter time or did you have the more momentum at any stage? Like, what was it like out there?
No, I definitely felt even, mate. I never doubt the boys. I feel like I always feel like we're in the game. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Maybe that's just because of my competitive nature. But yeah, definitely felt like we're in the game. You know, as I just touched on before, felt like we would work really hard to score and then we would just allow an easy goal, which, as I said, is, you know, can be backbreaking at times. And yeah. I think when we allowed a couple easy goals in that last quarter, you know what it's like, a team gets a full run of momentum and a team like Essendon, who I think are a really good side. I mean, they've showed early signs this season, other than the Port Adelaide game, they've been outstanding in all their other games. So, I feel like they're a really, really good contest side, have some great players in their group. They've got a really good midfield. You know, they've got some great ball users. And, yeah, we just allowed them to have a momentum shift and run in that last quarter. And as I said, they just outworked us. And, yeah, the most disappointing thing is that we ultimately let them run away with the game when the previous weeks we kind of hadn't. So hopefully we can move on quickly.
Yeah, for sure. I've got two more questions for you. One's about a guy that we've talked about a lot and you've talked about a lot and pumped up a lot. I want to get your thoughts on what you feel like you do in his situation and how you're actually getting around him. I'm talking about Riley Sanders. How do you manage that? Because it's obviously been in public, you know, everyone's talking about him getting subbed out and whatnot, but how you feel for him? Have you had any conversations with him? You know, yeah. Let everyone in on what you've spoken about.
Yeah, I have. Sando's a beauty. I love him, as I've touched on, and you know, I feel like he's obviously, unfortunately, we've got a lot of media attention on us at the moment because we're not playing our best footy, which then, you know, media look for players and whatnot, and obviously Sando getting subbed out, being a first year player, having all this pressure kind of heaped on him, it's obviously going to be challenging for him getting subbed out. But one thing I do know, as I said, he's doing a heap of work with Doggy. We love Doggy, Jamie Maddox, who's our head of development, essentially. You had him for your whole journey at the Bulldogs, and I met him when he was my under 16 Stingrays coach, who is one of the best, if not the best, development coach I've probably ever, you know, dealt with and had the pleasure of working with. He's spending a lot of time with Doggy, and Doggy's trying to help him in the areas where, and I personally, you know, don't necessarily want to go into the detail about the areas that he's improving on. Of course, I talk to him as a fellow teammate and hopefully a mentor to him in the areas that he wants to improve on, but that's his own business. I'm clearly not going to say that and put that out there, but I feel like a player in his situation, and I know he's doing this because, as I said, he's a pro, mate, ultimate pro and an absolute star. And you know, I'll say it again, he's going to be a superstar of the competition. If I was him in that situation, I would just seek out as much advice from, as I said, Doggy. I'd talk to obviously the coaches who are involved with him. I'd go to some of my teammates who are trying to help me out and just ask him to help me in what I need to work on. And as I said, his area that he needs to work on, he's watching vision, he's training it, he's doing things that he needs to do from a craft point of view that'll help him cement a spot in the team and then ultimately perform. So the only thing you can do as a teammate is just put your arm around him and be there for him and understand that he's a competitive beast who's a young star. So, you know, he's going through his challenges at the moment. As I said to him today, I said, mate, it's the joys of AFL, right? You ride the wave of the highs and the lows, and we all go through it. So, you know, as I said, mate, he's going to be a star, and he'll, you know, he will come out the better end of it being an absolute star. And one thing that I love about him is he's a great person. So I'll always throw my arms around Sando.
Yeah, it's a great answer, mate. I feel, you know, we've all been through it, like you said, and you come into the AFL system and you just want to play. Like, that's what all you want to do. And, you know, that little do people know, there's so many bumps along the way, and you've got to go through your own journey to figure out and forge your career, because otherwise, without that, it doesn't happen. So those little things will happen to everyone, and especially the good players. And it's, like you said, it's going to hold him in really good stead down the track for sure. So look forward to seeing him back in action this weekend or this Thursday night against the Saints. Mm. But my last question, mate, was just around inside the four walls. What's the messaging been like? You touched on earlier that, you know, you're moving on pretty quickly because you do play in a couple of days. So how is it? Is it pretty positive around the club? The boys up and about and ready for a big game this week?
Definitely, mate. We're, you know, we ride the emotions as much as anyone, us players. We know we're the ones that are out there performing and ultimately letting ourselves down, and we want to be better, and we want to continue to find areas where we can get better and improve, and very honest with our feedback, and getting the absolute best of ourselves out of ourselves weekly. And I know you can say it's a cop out, or the general person can say that, but it generally is the case for us. Genuinely, sorry, not generally. Genuinely is the case for us where we have great leaders. We've got obviously led by Marcus Bonapelli, who's one of the probably, if not, not, could be the best captain in the competition, who sets such a high standard, who wants to drive this group forward. And we've got some great players underneath him who is driving the group. And, you know we let ourselves down. We know that, you know, when we go out there, we don't ultimately don't want to lose, but we just want to perform to a point where we're proud of ourselves and we're proud of, you know, of, or we want to make our fans proud. We want to make our coaches proud. And that's something we want to do. So, in terms of the week, it's been, you know, we clearly looked at the areas that let us down, and I touched on them earlier in the review that we had. But, you know, as I said, we've got to quickly focus on the game going forward. We reviewed the game, but we're then going to move quickly to the Saints. You know, we've had three 6-day breaks. The Saints are a very good side. I mean, they're going to be no easier than any team in the comp. They're no easier or harder than Essendon. They're going to bring their strengths and they're going to be hard to beat. So we focus on that. But positiveness, the coaches are great. You know, we've got an unbelievable coaching group who are driven and motivated to help each individual, whether it's AFL, VFL level. We've watched some tape, as I said, that is clear and what we need to work on and, you know, what we need to bring to perform week in, week out. And I'm very positive, mate. I'm very optimistic. I'm very positive. I'm very excited about what we're going to bring on Thursday. Obviously, Tommy Liberatore is going to be out, which is a big loss for us. But I'm really excited about what our midfield group's going to bring, because I know from myself individually and you know, being proud of my midfield group, I know that we let ourselves down a little bit on the weekend, and I love seeing us bounce back. And we're coming up against another really good midfield led by Jack Steele. So, yeah, mate, just want to let the footy do the talking, and just extremely excited about, you know, what we can bring on Thursday, and just want to go back to playing our best footy.
Yep, I know all too well. It was only me a couple of weeks ago, mate, speaking after we were 0-3. So I'm sure you boys will be bouncing back this week against the Saints. One thing I want to send you, I'm going to send it to you right now. Now, great mate Toby McLean has sent this in. This is a bit of a lighter note. So he sent this in. It's a TikTok. We all know Toby loves his TikToks, but he loves me to get your comments. He wants me to get your comments on this video that I've just sent you. So for those that are listening, it's a bit hard to sort of explain.
Mate, I've seen this a million times already, mate. Don't you worry.
For those that are listening, it's a video of Adam on Marvel Stadium on Friday night, and he's gone for a reach down the trousers and had a little whatever he's done, and then he's put the finger up the nose. I'm pretty sure a lot of people would have seen this TikTok. So Toby just wants an explanation.
So it's pretty funny, because I unconsciously, when I seen that, because all my mates sent it to me, which is hilarious because you can't get away with anything on TikTok. But my my first thought was like, what the heck? I don't unconsciously did that. The only thing I know is I wore the worst undies on the weekend. I shouldn't have worn the undies that I was wearing. And they were riding up me clacker the whole game, and I was adjusting me freaking undies. And I know it doesn't mean anything, but you've actually probably heard me sniff on the podcast. I keep sniffing, so I've had the sniffles for the last, I'd say, week and a bit. And put the two and two together, comes up with that video. So that's the only reasoning that I could have from it, because yeah, as I said, mate, my jocks were tight, and I've had the sniffles all bloody week. So, oh mate, it's quite funny. It's quite funny because I remember joking about this the other day with your ex teammate, one of my great mates, Robbie McComb. So, yeah, mate, pretty funny. You can't get away with anything nowadays on TikTok, can you?
No, you can't. I just wanted to bring that one up because it's a nice little way to finish our footy talk from last week. I thought it was a good one from Toby.
No, I did like it. I had a great laugh when I seen it. And as I said, a lot of my great mates sent them through to you. I'm actually surprised you didn't send it earlier, because you probably seen it, but you just wanted to wait for the potty. But
I was waiting for this.
Quite funny. Even I laughed at that. I just freaking had a great laugh. other than the excitement of the game on the Friday, you actually in the news today from, I didn't read it because I don't read anything, but I seen there was a quote of something that you said in one of your interviews today about head high tackling or something. Do you want to elaborate on what you were saying? Yeah.
No, I did a press conference today, and they asked me about the Charlie Cameron case, and I just talked about how I feel like some like certain instances and players these days are, and I said we're guilty of it too. You're trying to win a free kick. So in those moments where, you know, you're getting tackled or you might be over the ball, like everyone's talked about Jack Ginnivan and all that kind of stuff where he raises the arm and some people are dipping their head trying to get a free kick. Like I think players are manipulating the rules a little bit in terms of, yeah, that kind of stuff to try and win a free kick and win field position to then be able to go forward and score. So I just talked about that and how I feel like it should be looked at in terms of when they're, when looking at cases like Charlie's, and he's actually gotten off, which is a great news story from tonight as well, that it should be considered whether the opposition player is contributing to that, mm-hmm. in my opinion. That's all it was.
Oh, well, that's good, mate. I genuinely didn't read the little quote or whatever it was. So I feel like that's a really good point because you are right. Players are trying to manipulate it a little bit and whatever the tackler may be doing, they try and you're always trying to win the ball. So
yeah,
it is interesting because obviously Charlie Cameron gets off, which is great for you boys. What's your thoughts on you probably can't have too much of an opinion, and neither can I, of the Zach Butters, and there's a bit of a Zach Butters Matt Crouch debate about because I think Matty Crouch got suspended and Butters didn't.
Yep.
Do you have any opinion on that, or are we all just?
Yeah, well, I've got an opinion. I don't mind having an opinion. I feel like I was watching both games actually because the Adelaide game was on that was finishing as the girls were starting to play netball, so I was watching that, and yeah, I thought the Crouchy one was a bit. It's obviously hit him in the head. He's gone down. So it's not a great look. And the Butters one, I feel like was very similar, but he didn't even get a free kick. So the opposition guy didn't even get a free kick. They just called play on. So I was sitting there on the couch because I was watching this game and it was pretty tense. And I was like, how is that not a free kick? So if it wasn't a free kick, how's it going to be reported? Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So both of them, I felt like were very similar. So if Crouch got a week, I feel like Butters should have, but potentially the reasoning was, I don't know what the reasoning was, but potentially it was because he didn't get a free kick or the umpires didn't call high on the night.
Yeah, yeah, it is an interesting one. I mean, people were talking about, talking about whether it's because obviously the Brownlow and, Butters yep. is a genuine chance every year because he's a superstar. So
it sort of goes back to my point, like if, I can't remember who he hit, but if that player goes down and milks it that he got hit in the head, well, he gets a free kick definitely. But then Butters, it gets looked at because it's like, oh, what's happened there? Whereas in the moment, in the heat of the moment, he got up straight away because it was a close game. He needed to get up and compete for the ball. Then it just goes away and everyone just forgets about it.
Yep. That is a great point, Joshy. That is why you're the one who talks about all the controversial stuff and I just stay out of it because I've got no bloody clue. Anything else catch your eye from a footy point of view on the weekend with other games other than ours?
No, I just thought it was a great weekend of footy, like a lot of close games. The Saints lost by 1 point. Port won by 3. Who was the other game? There was a 2-pointer.
There was Adelaide. Adelaide beat Carlton by 2 points.
Yep. So it was just a really good round of footy, I thought. And, yeah, good on the Crows for taking on Carlton at Marvel Stadium and coming over and getting that win. That was very impressive. I watched that right to the end, so it was a great win for them.
Would you still have the Giants as your number one seed at the moment?
Giants or Geelong, I feel.
Yep. I would too. I mean, yeah, they're almost on par, aren't they? They're both playing unbelievable. Jeremy Cameron's back, probably the best player in the competition at the moment. His footy is having 25 and kicking a couple of snags and having 5 goal assists a game. I mean, not many other players are doing that. So he's been unreal. But, yeah, it is – I agree with that. It was a great round of footy other than obviously our result. But I enjoyed every game. I watched most of the games on Saturday as I was, as I said, doing nothing in Adelaide. So, yeah, yep. it was a good round. We may as well move on to your game. If you don't have anything else from a footy sense from the weekend that just went by, we may as well move on to the preview for this week.
Or do you want to do our underrated player of the week?
Underrated?
Your segment?
Is that where we're going? I don't
know.
Wait, hang on. Is that what we're calling it? I thought it was give love to a someone segment or underrated segment or
give love to someone. Yeah. Let's do that.
All right. Yeah, I've got one. My one here. I already had him. He's Will Graham from the Gold Coast Suns. And the reason being I watched a bit of that game, and when you've got Noah Anderson, Matt Rowe, Tuk Miller, Sam Flanders, some gun midfielders, players like Will Graham, who I think was in his second game. Was it his second game? It was, right?
Yeah, I think so, yep.
Comes out, shows the defensive hunger and the desire, has 14 tackles, which is probably a record on second game player, I'm not sure, but I just thought it was incredible and I loved seeing it. So whilst Noah Anderson and Matt Rowe, rightfully so, get, you know, all the flowers and get pumped up in lights because they are guns for the round, I just want to give a bit of love to Will Graham. So well done, Will. Hopefully he listens to us.
Nice, mate. Mine is, so I've gone underrated player of the week, but I'll give love to this person too because I thought he came on and had a massive impact. He was the sub for the Crows, Sammy Berry.
Mm-hmm.
He came on and kicked a goal in that last 5 minutes or whatever it was. I think he had 9 touches or something in the last quarter. Like, he was very important for him late, and, you know, he's sort of been a little bit in and out of the team, been sub, you know. So I just thought he was really stood up in a big moment against a big club and got those boys over the line. So played an important role in that win. So he was one that I really wanted to mention this week.
That's a great, well done. I love that. I agree with that. For what it's worth, I may as well mention my other one. Speaking of subs, was the Giants sub. Was it Peatling? Was it Peatling?
Yep.
How's his mark to essentially save the game? Incredible. That was unreal. That was, yeah, mate, you're talking about subs impact. That was unbelievable by him. So he's someone who deserves a bit of love as well. I love this segment. I love giving love to players. Love this segment. We may as well move on to the preview now, unless, as I said, there's nothing else you want to talk about from the round that's just gone by. We can move on.
Nah, let's move on. Let's get into the previews, mate.
We'll go to yours, obviously, first. You play, what'd you say, Saturday night?
Saturday night, yep, against the Catters.
Can't wait for this game. Hopefully it's after we've won on Thursday, but I'll be glued to the screen watching you play, mate. Coming up against undefeated Geelong, you must be pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive battle for us. I think a lot of things that, you know, we took out of the Melbourne game we'll take into this one. It's going to be they're very similar in terms of the way they, I sort of think, match up, I guess you could say. They got a lot of good players. Like you said, Jeremy Cameron's in some unbelievable form, but I feel like they've got probably 10 blokes in unbelievable form. You know, Grant Myers, Brad Close, they're all playing those roles that they do for the team. So they've rediscovered their form of a couple of years ago when they won the flag. And yeah, they're going to be a very hard team to knock off on Saturday night. So look forward to the challenge, as we always do and always say. But yeah, it's going to be a massive game for us.
Mate, I couldn't agree more. It's probably the game of the round, to be honest, with an early call on that, because I actually haven't seen the other games. What's your plan? Like, how, without going too much detail, because I know you guys, you know, plan obviously indoors, but what's your plan on stopping them? I mean, as you said, their small forwards are as good as anybody. Tyson Stengel's playing, in my opinion, All-Australian form from his 2 years ago. Grant Myers, probably best kick in the AFL going inside 50. And then you've got a guy like Jeremy Cameron, who I just touched on, who's probably the best player in the comp. What will the plan of attack be for you guys to be able to nullify that and then ultimately win the game?
Well, they've been interesting because I feel like their stoppage numbers haven't been high, and they've sort of, it's almost like they don't give up the stoppage, but it's almost like they want to turn it over and then score. So yeah, we're going to have to obviously try and win the ball on the inside and the contested footy, but it's going to be a bit of an aerial game. I feel like they love to dominate the air. And, you know, when you guys played against them a couple of weeks ago, you know, Westy went to Tom Stewart and played a really good role on him, I thought, that night. So whether we do anything similar to that and try and nullify their influence in the air, that's probably something that we'll look at. It's still only early in the week too. It's only Tuesday, so still got a few more days to plan. But they're probably the most important things: win the contested footy, and then, you know, in the air, try and nullify their aerial game.
Yeah, I agree. Tommy Stewart is another one I didn't mention. Who, yeah, we know how good Tom Stewart is. Your game individually, I want to touch on that a little bit because your form has been, as I said, the last three games have been incredibly good. Is there, What is your, for those who, I guess, aspiring athletes who love going into the mind of a current athlete who's a genuine superstar like you, mate, what has been, I guess, your mindset going into the game? Like, what are you individually focusing on? How are you being able to have such an impact on the games that you've had? I mean, you can say stuff like contests, which I know you probably will, but I mean, your aerial stuff has been unreal. You've really, I know you spoke about aerial stuff. I felt like that was unreal last week. Your decision making with ball in hand has probably been, you know, the best the last 3 weeks. What are some areas that you're going into the game thinking, this is what's going to get me going, and then ultimately you perform?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I could probably say a few weeks ago I was probably a little bit reactive and, you know, worried about more about my opponent because, you know, I get given roles weekly on certain players, and I reckon my focus had shifted more towards them than actually to my game. And worrying about what I was doing and trying to make them, you know, some people or most people would say the best form of defense is attack. So make them defend you, that kind of mindset. So I feel like going into games the last couple of weeks, that's sort of been my mindset in terms of making it simple and being like, well, hang on, I'm playing on you, but you're also playing on me. So let's go to work and fight the battle. So that's something that I've definitely focused on and had chats with, you know, Fags and Brucey and a few others, my old man at times. So it's, they're all good little things to have. And, but yeah, like you touched on the contest work, that all just comes, I feel like that's natural to me. And, I've got words that I cue myself in with, but in terms of an overall focus, it's more just, yeah, that one, just make sure that I'm attacking the footy, I'm moving my feet and getting around the ground, because that's my weapon and that's how I make other guys, all opposition players, worried.
Oh, that's good. It's good, mate. It's great. It's clearly working, so keep it up. And I wish you the best this week, mate, and I hope you dominate. And hopefully you can, beat an undefeated team, which no doubt will be a challenge, but I'll be watching, mate.
Thanks, mate. What about you? Let's talk about Thursday night footy at Marvel Stadium. You've been going well too, mate. I feel like you've had an unbelievable start to your year, and yeah, like I said a couple of weeks ago, you'd be up there in the BNF because I feel like you're leading away from the front as you always do week in, week out. But this year especially has been a massive star for you.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. The game. So we're obviously, you didn't ask a question about the game, but I'll just touch on the game because I don't want to talk about myself. But it's going to be clearly, you know, I feel like a lot of people have already written us off, and you know, I get it. I understand why our performance hasn't been good enough. So we've just got to worry about how we're going to perform. And I'm really excited. As I said, I don't want to repeat myself, so not going to talk about that too much, but really excited about the game. St Kilda, you know, they play a really attacking brand. They obviously maintain the ball a little bit and try to kind of kick mark and get the ball into the hands of their great users like Jack Sinclair and Brad Hill, who's been in great form as well. You know, they've got one of our players that we said is one of the most underrated players in the comp, that the Windhager, is it Marcus? Yeah, Marcus Windhager.
Yep.
His form has been exceptional, and he's going to be a clear challenge for us on the weekend as well through the middle. But yeah, we've just got to be able to nullify them from moving the ball. I think they're maybe number one or two from scoring from their D50 going, you know, forward and scoring, and that just shows the weapons that they have. So we've got to be right on. And yeah, feel like if our defense is up to scratch in terms of stopping that, we'll give ourselves a really good opportunity going forward because we'll get some really good looks. Even though the wins haven't been there from a win-loss point of view, I feel like Jamara has had, you know, an unreal year jumping at the ball and taking grabs. Naughty's the same. Sammy Darcy the last few weeks has obviously been in the side and really doing that well. So we can give them good looks as well, feel like, it'll go a long way to us scoring and then ultimately winning. So really looking forward to it. And I think another challenge again as well for us is going to be the midfield battle. We really want to get on top in there and really set it up because as I've said historically, when we win around the ball, win clearance, pressure's right up, we give ourselves a great opportunity in winning. So it's going to be a great challenge for us against a really good midfield and against a really, really good ruckman in Rowan Marshall, who will be right up there in all Australian form as he always is. So really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a cracking game of footy. And I remember last year when you guys were in this kind of stage and copping a bit of heat. You played against us and you dominated us. So it's going to be good to see you go at it this week against the Saints. I don't think there's anything else to sort of talk about, mate. You summed it up pretty well and look forward to seeing it all happen out there on Thursday night.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I want to not talk about the Bulldogs anymore. Hopefully our footy does the talking and the rest can be history. But I tell you what I am looking forward to is the derby, which is the West Coast Fremantle derby. I'm really excited for this game because, you know, I said when we played the Eagles, they're better than what their performance was against us. And I felt like they got a really good core of young players and, you know, clearly led by Harley Reid, who has fully blown me away these last couple of weeks. I feel like he is, you know, the rage was about him and how good he's going to be. And we've seen some of his potential up close and his game on the weekend was outstanding. I cannot wait to see, firstly, this game, but I can't wait to see how the West Coast midfield led by Elliot Yeo and Reid go against Brayshaw, Caleb Sarong, Jago Mira. I'm so looking forward to this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracking game. And last week, I think the West Coast boys has got on their display profile picture, Harley Reid, don't arguing, Dustin. No. Did you see that?
No.
I saw it pop up somewhere.
I did not see that. But I'll tell you what makes me laugh is, mate, it was, you know how they were obviously building the fend off for the game with Harley Reid and Dustin Martin? Come on, yep. The fend, it wasn't that much of a fend. I mean, he fended him, but it wasn't a Dustin Martin fend.
Yeah, I know. It's still pretty impressive. Some of the stuff he does is just, he's crazy. I'm like, geez, can I have some of that?
Yeah, no, I am seeing, as I said, seeing him up close and what he does as an 18-year-old, like, play, as you just said, jokingly, can you have some of that? I mean, you're 27 now and I'm, mate, players don't do that, and what he's showcasing is incredible. And in 10 years' time, I cannot wait to see what his career trajectory has been because he has all the makings of an absolute superstar and a Dustin Martin 2.0, which in my opinion, Dustin Martin's the top three player of all time that I've ever seen. And for me to say Harley Reid is a clone of that is big raps. I think he's going to be an absolute superstar. Another game I'm looking forward to as well is the Carlton Giants game, which is at Marvel Stadium. Giants undefeated. Carlton, obviously, yeah. What is it, 4-1, 5-1 now for them? I'm not sure. Yeah, that's going to be a ripper.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracking game. I feel like that one's going to be – Carlton got a few injuries now, so it'd be interesting to see how they both go against each other. But, yeah, the Giants, to me, are the team to beat at the moment, I feel.
They look good. There are some good games. So we may as well quickly do our tips. So Bulldogs, St Kilda. Oh, who are you tipping there, mate?
I think I'll tip you, boys. I think you'll bounce back this week.
Thanks, mate. I'm tipping Bulldogs. Adelaide Essendon at Adelaide Oval.
I'm going to tip Adelaide.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Adelaide. Collingwood, Port Adelaide at the MCG. That is a – mate, I've just seen that. That is a ripping game.
Pies.
I feel like they're getting their mojo back. If not, they've already got it back. Oh, and for what it's worth, Nathan Murphy retired today and I played with him. Yeah, I played with him. And firstly, it's unfortunate he retired. And so I'm sorry. We're all sorry to hear because he, you know, clearly premiership player, but was only really young and was just getting his AFL journey going. But secondly, having played with him, you know, a really, really humble, like great person, very team orientated. Lovely, caring man, and you know, I wish him, and we wish him all the very best. What a way to play your last game. Obviously, not ideal for you, mate, but being in that game, but for him to go out a premiership player, it's only fair because he's a true star. And I'm very sad to see him retire, but no doubt, whatever he does next, he'll succeed at.
I like it, mate. Yep, completely agree with everything you just said, and we wish him all the best in retirement.
We do. So Collingwood Port, you said Maggies. I reckon Maggies. Carlton Giants.
Giants.
Oh, it is a hard game, far out. I'm going to go Carlton at Marvel Stadium. Oh, am I going to go Carlton? Nah. Yeah, I'll go Carlton because you went the Giants. Brisbane Geelong. I'm always going to go you, mate. Brisbane. West Coast v Freo, Optus Stadium. Are we both going Freo?
Yeah.
Okay, just to be different, I'm going West Coast. And Brado, I'm not joking, I'm going West Coast because I know you do our tips. So Which I think, for what it's worth, I'm in front too, by the way. But I'm going to go West Coast.
No way. No way. Last week, I dominated. I actually got one wrong last week, and it was your game. You blokes let me down.
Oi, don't say your like it was my fault. two more games. Sydney v. the Gold Coast at the SCG. That'll be a good game too.
Swannies for me.
Swannies too. And, North Melbourne v. Hawthorn, which both haven't won a game, have they? No. Have they?
Where's that?
Nah, North Hawthorn both haven't won a game. That is at Marvel Stadium.
I'm gonna say North Melbourne.
I'm gonna say Hawthorn. Another. And then Melbourne, Richmond have the bye. So really looking forward to those games. No more footy. Any more footy from you, mate? Before we move to our Brooks Bloom of the week.
No, mate. All good.
Okay. Well, I'll start because. You've already said mine, mate, and I'm doing it. Pride of Jenny. Thank you. Brooke's Bloom of the Week. We love Brooke, as I say it every single week, and you do too. But my Brooke's Bloom of the Week was Pride of Jenny, is Pride of Jenny. That horse and that run, you said it before, mate, best run you've ever seen. That was incredible. That was incredible to watch. So Pride of Jenny is my Bloom of the Week.
I like it, mate. I like it. Mine, I actually got off tipper tonight. I was like, oh, what should I do for Bloom of the Week this week, and I've just decided that I'm going to go with today's news in a WNBA draft pick number one, Caitlin Clark is my Brooks Bloom of the Week. Something different. I was like, I'll venture overseas over the water to America, and yeah, I think she's going to be, you know what's funny? Not funny. It's actually quite interesting. Have you seen her contract for the next few years?
Nah. What is it?
Well, we were talking about it today. It was about, so US, I think it's probably only about $500,000. So you compare that to what? Over 4 years, $500,000 over 4 years.
Oh, so.
So she'd be making, what's that work out to be? I don't know, 150, 125 a year.
Oh my gosh. If she had
stayed in college, she would have got paid more than what she's going to get paid going into the WNBA.
Mate, that's mind-blowing because for people who don't know Caitlin Clark, this woman is revolutionary. Like, she is incredible. She is incredible. Like, incredible. And the fact that she's making that, I mean, surely you'd think she'd make quite a fair bit with sponsors.
Yeah, so 2024, $76,500. 2025, $78,000. 26, $85,000. And, yeah. The rest, yeah. So there you go.
You're kidding. So, mate, she has to be making a fortune with sponsors because she will already be a top 10 player in the league. Like, this lady is incredible.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's my Brooks Bloom of the Week.
I like that. Well done. For what it's worth, the NBA obviously just finished yesterday. Tomorrow is the first play-in games. And you're a little bit hesitant to give me a bona fide winner in the NBA when I asked you a couple of weeks ago. Has your opinion changed? Can you give me a champion?
Well,
do you have a bona fide winner?
No, I don't really, because I'm like, I don't know. But I think OKC, like you said, they're going to be pretty special to watch, I feel like, in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, OKC is my boys. They have been since the Russell Westbrook, KD, James Harden days, Nick Collison, Stephen Adams, Kyle Singler, for what it's worth, just in case those people out there think I don't know anything. Deion Waiters, Kevin Martin, there was all these players there that no one knows about. Reggie Jackson got drafted there when he was there. But anyway, I don't think they'll win. I think they're too young. I reckon they'll just bow out. My pick, I'm looking at the standings here. My West winner will be, I don't want to say Denver because they are the best in the West. Good rhyme. They are the best in the West. But, I'll say Denver. And I think Boston way too good in the East. So my winner's Boston. They'll play Denver. I know it's boring and I think Boston will win.
I think that's the easy answer for everyone.
Well, no. It's the right answer because it's the most obvious. The right answer. And also, before we finish up and end the potty, for our fans who love us, can you please convince Josh Dunkley to send me a trade for Najee Harris because we're in a in our number one league that we're in, which is the keeper league where we keep our teams right. And, you know, there's 10 of us in it. We're doing trades at the moment because the draft is about to happen and I have no draft picks and I'm desperate for something. I'm trying to get rid of Najee Harris. So can you please direct message him, comment to him, say something to him to just give me Najee, to take Najee Harris and give me something in return. That's fair. So I'm going to end the podcast on that, mate.
Well, we can't end it before we announce our winners of our Brooks Bloom's Ads and Dunks merch pack. So we've got two of those. So we've decided that we're going to do two a week. So I've got it here. So last week's answers, and we said to comment on our YouTube, which everyone did, 38 comments, which is great. I'm Spark 03 is one of them. So Ads was walking with Buku and Ed Richards. He saw Rourke Smith, Luke Shuey, and a couple of unnamed Collingwood staff members. Absolutely love the Potties boys. Or the Potty Boys, go Dogs. So he's one. James Glover, 2426. As he was, same thing, exact same answer. So you guys are our winners. We'll reach out to you and send our merch packs ASAP. And that brings me to this week's question. So you've got to go and comment this week. And this week's thing is who was our underrated or who did we give our love to this week?
I was going to say, my question would have been, what was Dunks angry at that Tipper didn't do when he got home from Melbourne? So answer either one of those questions. Because the ones who really do love the podcast will listen into that and they'll understand the pain that Josh went through. All right, Joshy, mate, before we end the potty, you know how we've had a really good thought, how we always talk throughout the potty and we come up with a couple of questions for each other and we don't know the answer. And we've got our great man, Brado, in our ears giving us the answer, but it might be a little bit too late or whatever it may be. Come up with a really good idea where now at the end of the potty for our listeners who want to know the answer to the questions that we've asked, we can have Brado come over and tell us. What do you reckon?
Love the idea, mate. Let's get him on.
Let's go, Brado.
All right, just because I'm slow at what I do. But Ads did ask what the main street in Adelaide was called, where all the hotels were. North Terrace.
There we go.
Then we jump over to Bailey Banfield was the player that got hit by Zach Butters. And he didn't flop. He didn't flop. So that was a good one. We had Will Graham. It was indeed his second game.
That's a win by me. Well done.
You were on for that one. This one's a good one for Dunks because Sam Berry did have 9 touches when he came on and kicked the match
winner. Oh, see? Hey, I know my stuff.
See, and then, but Dunks also did think that he had a dominant performance in the tipping, but he only won by 1 tip because he did pick, he picked Adelaide and Gold Coast, which is pretty good, but picked Frio to beat Port.
Still well, Frio should have won that game.
And, there was one more because Ads did say that Dunks is dominant overhead contested mark. Well, Ads has actually had 2 contested marks and Dunks has had 2 contested marks. So you're on par.
Hey, Joshy, that basketball celebration where you do that too small?
Yep, that's me.
Do you remember me taking you on at training when I used to dominate you?
I do. But
I don't
want to
start fights. I don't want to start fights here. That's it.
I love it. Thanks, love it, Brado. Mate.
Thank you, Brado. We can't wait to add that in because I feel like our listeners, they definitely would be scratching their head like, I actually don't know. So that's what we hear in the headset. So now you can hear Brado's great voice. So we love Brado. Thank you for all the work you do for us. But that's it, mate.
Now I cop the hate if I don't have the answer.
That's good.
Well, that's it, mate. You're the wrapper-upper on this show, mate. So I'll let you do the wrapper-up ring.
Thanks, mate. I'll do the wrapper-up ring then. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. It's been another great episode of the Ads and Dunks podcast. Thanks to Brooke and the team for getting around us this year, and we appreciate all the support we get. So get on the YouTube channel and make sure you comment for the questions this week, and we'll get another merch pack out to 2 people every week. Thanks, Adsy.
Cheers, mate. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Brooks Bloom's, your all-in-one landscaping solution.
Brooks Bloom's 3-step landscaping experience offers a seamless journey from design to construction and ongoing care, ensuring your outdoor space thrives year-round.
Visit brooksblooms.com today to embark on your landscaping journey, where every step is a step towards a vibrant and beautiful outdoor entertaining space.